Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast. Are you open or closed? That's a question. Forward thinking, backward. You ready to ride on or are you ready to run away? I don't know how many of you actually realize this, but there are 24 hours in a day. You get 24, I get 24. It's pretty evenly split, but we definitely don't use these R's evenly or equally. Why are some people able to do so much in, say, like a 12 or 24 hour period, and others get very little done? You know, we maybe sleep 6 or 8, saying, Paul, that'd be good if I could get that. But if you do, then that's going to leave about 16 or 18 hours of being awake. Now, I'm not talking about being woke, I'm talking about being awake. And you may be in work for 8 to 10 of those, if you're lucky or unlucky, whatever you want to look at it. And that leaves 5 or 6, if you are. And what I see is people focusing on what they do when they're not in work, wrongly believing that they have to look after their mental and physical health in the time, not in work only. And when it comes down to it, they realize that out of those 5 or 6 hours when they aren't in work, they have 101 things to do, of which basically little to none will be about protecting health and well-being. Physical and mental health is not top of priority list at that point. There's just not the time for it. You know, I get it. And this is where your argument is being built. And that starts to become part of your identity story. And I genuinely do get it. You know, life is busy. What I'd ask you to do, though, is ponder this question. Yes, question. Ponder this one. How busy is life, and how busy do we make life? We have transport to take us to work quicker than was available to our grandparents. We have microwaves where we can cook or reheat food so we don't have to cook from scratch every time. We have dishwashers that wash and dry our dishes. We have mobile phones so that we don't have to go to the hallway even, or God forbid, the phone box down the street every time we want to communicate and talk to someone. We have high-speed internet, so we don't have to spend time flicking through the yellow pages. If you know, you know. We have TV on demand, meaning that we don't have to be on a specific time to watch the things we want. We can record, we can fast forward, we can skip ad breaks completely. We are gifted. We are gifted with so much time now in our day, so much more time than, you know, tasks of 50, 60 years ago, but even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, probably. But still, I don't have time, Paul. Here's me, wise up. How often do you hear your parents say that they didn't have time to do a thing, or how tired they were whenever they came home from work, from the coal mines, you know? Well, probably not from the coal mines, but you would think that they were there based on their tiredness complaints. Now, it's not to say they weren't working hard. It's not to say they weren't tired. But what do you say in the evenings now whenever you come in or whenever you finish work? Do you talk about how tired you are? Or how you don't get time? Don't have time to do that thing. Never get time. You have the time. We have the time. We're maybe just wasting a little too much of it. Shit, it's not important. And then we're reinforcing the belief that we don't have the time. Or, we're talking about tiredness, that we're tired too. When you don't believe in something enough, you'll find an excuse. When you do, you'll find a way. How do some people manage to get so much done in a day? Maybe, you know, could be somebody who has the same job as you, similar home life, relationships, things going on, whatever. And it's not because they're gifted or special. It's because they manage their activities. Not control, manage. I'm beginning to actually really hate the fucking word control, given what's happening on a global scale right now. But when you become efficient in managing day-to-day activities and tasks, you complete more. That's a given. You get more done. You manage your activities, you get more done. You get done what you want to do. And that's important, doing what you want to do. And if you don't have time, it's because you're not focusing on what you want. Or maybe you are. Maybe you're focusing on wanting to have the excuse of no time. Because what does that do? It removes responsibility. It passes the buck on to the person or the thing that seems to take up the time that you do have. Is that what you want to hear me say? Probably not. Is that what you need to hear? 100%. If something is not what you want to hear, you're going to dig your heels in. You're going to argue with me that I'm wrong. Justify your case for not having time. And hey, you have a solid case. I do not disagree, because that is what you're choosing to believe. We have a very compelling argument that goes on and builds whenever we choose to get defensive about our limitations. If you believe you don't have time, building your case for why you don't have time doesn't solve the problem of lacking time. It actually fucking increases it. Your focus goes into proving what you believe. That's what you're focusing on. That's what you're doing. We say we would love more time, yet at that point, our attention is actually focused on showing the world, so that's everyone around you and yourself, how little time we have. It's counterproductive. It's actually silly. Now, I'm stopping short of calling us stupid there. So use the word silly. Look back on your year so far. Now, I don't care if you're listening to this in November or you're listening to it in February. Same logic applies. You've had lots of time behind you. The time is behind you. It's gone. Look back. Did you make the most of it? Making the days count instead of counting the days kind of thing. It actually seems easier to deal with the pain sometimes of not having time to do a thing than it is to friggin' organize and prioritize our time to do the things that are important. I mean, that sounds like you'd have to go and get some work done. The more a thing means, the more you value it. So the more a thing means, the more you value it. And the more you value a thing, the greater the chance you'll change. For every goal you have, you'll have something pulling you back from achieving the goal. A worry, a doubt, a fear, a belief, a negative voice, an unhelpful friend. Your goals and your wants are like a dog on a retractable lead. As soon as that dog pulls too far in front, the owner is going to pull it back. Who's the owner? It's your limiting beliefs. That's your fears. In the first few weeks of any coaching program of mine, or you know, I work with Seamus and the Mindset Junkie too, we're going to spend several weeks working on shifting limiting beliefs, changing perspectives, and helping you manage your activities better so you have the time to do the things that are important. I call this getting the biggest bang for your buck. How many of you have done a diet plan? And when I'm talking about diet plans, examples might include, but are not limited to, and I'm not bitching about them, Weight Watchers, We Slim Together, Slimming World, Atkins, Juice Plus, Herbalife, or a diet a PT or friend gave you. If you've ever been on a diet plan, you'll know this one thing that applies to all diets. Diets fucking suck. Diet means restriction. It means starving yourself. When it comes to food diets, for most people, it's, you know, could be drinking shakes, popping pills, and I've seen removing entire food groups completely. If you've been on any form of diet, then you'll know they cause you pain, hunger, anger, and confusion. And that's all felt in the mind, not just in the body. How long did you stick with diets? Did you achieve your target and then, you know, maintain it, keep going? Diets are basically goals. So if you want to achieve your goals beyond dieting, then you can look at previous diets as a marker for what worked and what didn't work for you. So if you're a successful dieter, then the chances are you're going to be a successful goal achiever. The same basic principles, problems, obstacles, and opportunities will be there. And if you're a shit dieter, so like you start, you stop, start, you stop, you reach your goal, you go backwards, you never really seem to make any progress, that's going to transfer into your goals. Okay, we're talking about identity, we're talking about habits, we're talking about beliefs, and we're talking about actions that stem from those. And if you actually want to start to change some of the things you've done in the past that haven't worked for you, then I fucking beg you, get in touch. Because at the beginning of 2022, I'm opening up 12 spots for coaching. 2 spots are already taken, so there's 10 left at the time of this podcast. Some of you will say that you can't do anything right now. I'm just going to wait to January. And if that's you thinking that or saying that, then ask yourself, is that what you normally do? Because if it's what you normally do, which is wait, then there's another lever, whatever you want to call it, that we're going to have to pull down. Something is going to have to shift. Something is going to have to change. Otherwise, you're just going to repeat, repeat, repeat. I remember one of the first message conversations that I had with a client in our group, Joanne. And, you know, it was way back in February 2021. So that's like, well, it's like 9-10 months ago now. And it was in a free week that I had run. And it was around health and self-love and training, etc. Massive week that I do every few months. But she messaged me on, it was like the first day, to say she couldn't do the task that I'd set the group that day. So I was going to leave the group. Now, I didn't know her, but I gave her permission not to do the task, because I could see that it was causing her some stress and anxiety. But we did agree an alternative. Now, that was a life-changing and life-defining decision to reach out to me. She could have just not done it and left. She's several stone lighter now, chronic back pain almost completely gone, and doing more now on a physical level than she's done in years. And you know what? She actually stepped up and completed the task anyway, the one she said she couldn't do. Why? Probably because I removed the pressure of it and said that she didn't have to. Sometimes that's the role of the coach, is to lift the burden, especially if it's a psychological one. But you have to be open to that. That's being coachable. That's, you know, coming to some form of compromise. That's what we did there. Very, very simple. But massive, massive results come off the back of that one. Now, the average PT, right? The average PT is going to run you, if you're doing one-to-one PT, run you about 25 to 30 quid if you're in the cheaper area, if you're in cities. You know, you could be anywhere in Belfast, up to 70 quid a session. Now, if you go twice a week, now I'm going to base it on the minimum. So if you go twice a week to the PT, that's about 200, 240 quid a month for a rep counter. All right, and, you know, that's a little bit harsh for some, but for most that does apply, just a rep counter. And for another 20 or 30 quid, chuck in the gym fee. So 250 quid a month. And the only support you're going to get is probably during a session, of which you're going to spend 2 minutes out of every 3 minutes resting, talking shape, or, you know, an accountability message from them to say that your card's expired and your membership is overdue. If that's your facility, if that's the contact that your facility has with you, you're in the fucking wrong place. That's not accountability. That's not coaching. There's little development there. You're not in a good environment. Your time can be better spent there too, all right? But you have to be coachable. You have to be open to change. And you have to be willing to put some skin in the game. I mean, I have phone bills. I drink what I consider to be expensive coffee. I eat shop-purchased food. But I make sure I'm on the best phone deal. I actually buy single-origin coffee and make it at home rather than buying it in shops. And the shop-purchased food is limited to 1 to 2 kind of meals in the middle of the week because it gives me variety and fits with what I'm working on and roughly in line with my calorie intake. You'll be able to afford what you decide you can. The same goes for where you divide your time, where you spend it, because it all comes back to the decision to invest. Where do I want to invest the money I have? In the food, alcohol, coffee, or support? It's a decision. Where do I want to invest the time that I have? Into accountability, or simply into someone's account, because there's a massive fucking difference. You can still have takeaways, you can still have some alcohol, you can still have coffee and so on. You can have all of that, and I will get you to the point that you want to get to. If you were sure you could do it, you'd find the time, the money, and the commitment. Because, you know, when we believe in a thing that we value, and the thing you need to believe in right now is yourself, when we do that, you open up to more possibility, open up to more opportunity, and increase the odds of you actually going there. So believe in yourself and believe in me. Too many people aren't willing to put skin in the game. Too many people aren't willing to believe in themselves. But you have to put skin in the game. You have to start to believe in yourself, even just a little bit. That's the big piece of the accountability puzzle for me. Saying you're worth it. And then backing yourself. Like I said, I have 10 spots left here for January starts. And here's where, like, I don't normally promote coaching with me on these podcasts, but I have done the last couple. So here's where I'm going to make this a no-brainer for you. I generally work with people for about 6 months at a time. And that is now the minimum. After all, it's a lifestyle that I help with. Not a 28-day colonic detox. because they are shit. So yeah, here's the no-brainer. It's kind of like a Black Friday offer, right? If you commit to you and me for the first 6 weeks of us working together and are making progress, I want to stay on and finish the project, hit the goals that you're on track for, I take that initial 6 week investment that you make and I use that as a payment against the next 6 months, effectively making it a 6 week free trial. Because if you're not happy with what you do during that time and what you're getting and achieving, if you're not happy with what I'm doing, so if I don't deliver on what I say I will, I give you a refund. So that's 6 weeks of free coaching basically. But you gotta put skin in the game up front and make that investment, getting it back again as you hit week six. It's a double whammy of accountability. Tell me anyone out there now getting a better guarantee than that. Live training sessions between 5 and 7 a week. Gym-based sessions with plans. Personal nutrition plans, one-to-one coaching calls every week to kick your ass. Group coaching calls that we do every week to kick your ass and expand your mind. Recipe cookbooks. Slow cooker cookbooks, so you can fire the food in there and come home to a home-cooked dinner. I've got stew on tonight. Carlsberg doesn't do this, but I do. And if you're open to being coached, if you want to get off the treadmill of disappointment and failure, go into the show notes, please. Take the quiz. Go into the show notes. Take the quiz. It's a quick quiz. I'm like 10 questions. I don't even know there is 10. 10 spaces, but you have to apply via the quiz. That's where the journey starts for you. That's where the work begins. I won't be putting these up on social media yet. I'm not putting those spots up yet. I'm giving listeners first refusal. Don't know how many of you fuckers actually listen. Hopefully you can see from what I talk about on the podcast that your beliefs about what you can and can't do all originate from the story you tell yourself, the identity you've created. And then you look for things to show both you and everyone else that that is who you are. See, I told you, Paul, I always feel. I never stick to it. I told you so. This is just typical of me. I'll never change. Man, girl, lady, dude, pass me the coloured tissues because we are having an absolute pity party over here. And it's all stemming from what you believe to be true about who you are and what you're capable of. It's a fucking belief. What is a belief? Everything you think you can and everything you think you can't do is a belief. They're all beliefs. And what's a belief? A belief is a thought that we think. What's a belief? A belief is a thought that we think. It's a thought that we think over and over and over again until it comes a belief and then we believe it to be true. Well, it's not true. It's just a thought that we've thought and thought and thought and thought until we believed it to be true. So it wasn't true at the start. It was only true after we thought it and thought it and thought it. Decision is key. Always starts with a decision. I'm doing this thing. I'm doing this. Not that I might try it. I'm going to give it a run. Fuck that. Not interested in that. If that's you, I'm not interested. I'm doing it. Your energy shifts. You'll start out of the blocks. Heightened state. Focused on the goal. But unless you're going to make that part of your identity through repetition, the old beliefs will come back. Old beliefs are old habits. They're strong and they will hold you down and they'll not want to let go. Here's an example that I hear so much, you know, from people. I gave a few earlier on. I've tried everything, but nothing works. That sounds like a statement made by a quitter. Don't be that person. I don't want to work with that person. Be the person who takes action. Be the person who takes the quiz. Be the person who takes the next steps. And let's talk, find out whether you actually are coachable. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.